Big Willie Styles all in it, getting jiggy with it.
1201 is Sportsnet Radio Network. This is Sportsnet Today, 1 hour edition. I am Ben Ennis. Of course, the news of the day. We've got some. Good on the Blue Jays for being, I guess, the biggest mover and shaker early this Major League Baseball offseason, because it was getting to the point where we're starting to make up stuff. Maybe not make up stuff, but really parse things, like right down to the bone. And that was annoying our next guest, Mike Wilner, who joins us on the line right now. Hello, Michael. We have stuff to talk about, real stuff.
Yeah, stuff happened.
Yeah, which is good. So J-Hap, 3 years, $36 million bucks out of absolutely nowhere. Never even considered the possibility of a return for Mr. Hap. But not overwhelming. I don't know if it's underwhelming. The dollar figure is staggering, but we don't know exactly what the market is. But it's certainly a situation where there will be big dollars spent on guys that are not J-Hap, obviously. Much better than J-Hap, but... the overall initial impression of this deal?
The overall impression of this deal is that the Blue Jays got a fourth starter at market value without giving up an asset, period.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is it? I guess it's market value.
Yeah, the dollar amount, I don't know why it's staggering. This is what the market will bear. And maybe it just shows how good the deal is that they've got R.A. Dickey and Marco Estrada on. That people are stunned that J-Hap makes $12 million a year, a mid to bottom of the rotation free agent who doesn't have a draft pick attached is going to make about $12 million a year.
I think what's staggering is that, and I don't know if this is fair, it's the second biggest free agent contract handed out to a starting pitcher in franchise history, right?
Yeah, that's kind of nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
And it's actually the biggest. Because A.J. Burnett
did not play
his opt-out,
yeah.
So he only made 33.
Mm-hmm. And there's no opt-out in this thing.
Right.
He's going to make $10 million in 2016, 13 each in 17, 18. So are you buying what he's selling in the 11 starts with the Pittsburgh Pirates? I know it's just 11 starts, and I'm sure you've read the stuff, and you've gone into the numbers quite a bit. I read the fan graphs. Story on his 11 starts and the changes he made in Pittsburgh. I read it. It's a real good story. If you haven't checked it out, you should. It goes into a couple of different things, tries to be measured, but he did face a lot more lefties for whatever reason when he was a Pirate as opposed to when he was a mediocre Seattle Mariner. Plus, there was the whole National League thing, but he also threw more strikes and threw his hard stuff more. Which, I don't know, I kind of think they might be related, too. I think it's easier to throw your hard stuff and throw pitches for strikes when you're seeing more lefties and you're facing the pitcher one every nine times.
Yeah, and I think people, when they talk about American League to National League, they talk about, well, you get to face the pitcher. But it's not just that. In most National League lineups, the eight-hitter sucks, too. And the seven-hitter isn't especially good.
Eh.
So you get a lot of breathers when you're in the National League. So no, I'm not buying what J-Hap did in his 11 starts with the Pittsburgh Pirates. No, and I don't think anyone's expecting that. And again, if they were, if that's what J-Hap is now, then this is the greatest free agent signing of all time. Because he's going to win three Cy Young Awards in his 3 years with the Blue Jays. But that's not what J-Hap is. We saw J-Hap, and... You know, we remember a couple of springs ago when they said, oh, they changed his arm angle, and now everything's going to be great.
Yeah.
And he was still J-Hap.
Mm-hmm.
Look, he's a major league fourth starter. That's what he is. He's going to have some games where he's at 100 pitches in the fourth inning, and he's going to have some games where he throws seven innings of two-hit shutout. He did both those things with the Blue Jays, and he'll do them again. I mean, one would expect that as he gains more experience, he learns more about himself and who he is and what he can do, and maybe that makes him a little bit better, but... This is a fourth starter. That's what the Blue Jays got. And, you know, in the month, not even a month since the GM meetings, the Blue Jays have gone from Drew Hutchison being their third starter to Drew Hutchison being their sixth starter. And that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
So still very early in the offseason, they've added starting pitching depth. That's what they did yesterday.
Do you think they're done in the rotation?
No, maybe. You never know.
Yeah.
But, there's still 3 months of offseason left.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, to assume they're done is a stretch. I know it's what a lot of people want to believe because it allows them to get even angrier about this.
I'd say it's more than 50-50 that they're done in the rotation.
I think I don't think there's going to be a big splashy ad as far as starting pitching goes. But then again, you know, maybe Carlos Carrasco could happen or Danny Salazar could happen at some point.
That's a tough one. You think they have enough pieces for either of those guys?
Absolutely.
Like, so that involves what? Like Dalton Pompey? Somebody
else? It would involve Pilar or Pompey or maybe Ben Revere, plus some stuff from the minor leagues.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah, lots of good stuff.
I have a tough time picturing that one because apparently the deal that moved close to getting done last year was Norris, Hoffman, and Pompey, right? Like, I think that's what Shai Davidi told me a couple of weeks ago.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, that seems like you can't put that together anymore. There's no Norris and there's no Hoffman in this system anymore.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, so I don't know what Connor Green is to people outside of this organization. We're being sold that Connor Green's real good and could move up the ladder quickly, but I mean, every team does that with their own prospects, tries to sell you on them, and they try to make sure that they have value around Major League Baseball. I don't know. And first of all, I don't know if they're willing to give up more pitching minor league depth, but it seems like they're moving away from that. That's another part of this, is that they don't give up a draft pick with the Hap signing.
Right. You don't give up a draft pick. It's not a trade, so you're not giving up an asset. But, I mean, this is all speculation. The trade market is still out there, and the Blue Jays could still add starting pitching by trade. You just never know what's going to come up and when it's going to come up. But this is a starting rotation that 3 weeks ago was awful and paper thin. And now there's some meat on the bone.
Yeah. And who knows? Listen, the thing is, okay, I believe that this team can definitely get by with these starters if they perform to their career averages all season long. I thought that the team last year could have done the same thing. The starters were real bad to start the season in 2015. I guess people forget about it because of the way it finished. The bullpen was real bad start of the season. Yep. They were 7 games under .500. John Gibbons, who knows if he was actually close to being fired, but we were all speculating about his demise when they went out on the road for a doubleheader in Washington against the Nationals. And we know Kevin Pillar hit a couple of home runs off Max Scherzer, and the season took a totally different tone at that point. I would have thought that the Red Sox would be fine with their starting pitching last year, Mike. But
the Red Sox had 5 number 3 starters last year,
right?
And the Blue Jays have they have a 1, they have a couple of 2s and 3 4s.
I guess. I think Marcus Stroman can be a 1, but I think it's a little early to anoint him as a number 1 right now. Would you not agree with that?
Sure, it's a little early, but based on everything he's ever done in the major leagues, and the arsenal that he comes equipped with, he's pretty legit. He pitched. He had 4 starts for the Blue Jays last year, and one hopes that he's going to have 34 for the Blue Jays in 2016. He's had 24 regular season starts, I think, and he's been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So. There's, you know, when you look at what he brings to the table, the stuff, the command, the arsenal, there's no reason to believe that this is a flash in the pan. And he was going to be their opening day starter last year off of 20 starts. So what he did in the regular season, what he did in the playoffs and the pennant race kind of strengthens that. It embiggens his resume, if you will.
Yes.
I have no problem with Marcus Stroman going in heading this rotation.
It's funny looking at the career history of Jay Happ and his time in Toronto. I would have said he was average, but he never had an ERA plus of even 100 with the Blue Jays. In fact, even with his 11 starts in Pittsburgh with an ERA of 1.85, giving up just 52 hits and 63 and a third. Are you okay? Hold on.
Yeah.
All right. 69 strikeouts. Even with that, combined with the Mariners' numbers from a year ago, he just had an ERA plus of 106, so just barely over league average in ERA.
Yeah, he's fourth starter.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That's what he is. He's a fourth starters by generally are not very good.
No,
and he's fine. He's fine. He's better than most fourth starters.
Yeah, probably. But you know what else he is? Infuriating to watch at times.
Oh yeah,
okay. Boy. He makes you pull your hair out because he has none, I guess. But like it is. Yeah, what you're talking about, 100 pitches through four innings, we saw that so often with the guy. And it's not that he was giving up a ton of runs. I mean, he did that occasionally too. But he would, the walks, the nibbling. I remember, and I shared this in a tweet yesterday, I think you were gone. I was filling in for you for a couple of games when Jack Morris was doing the color commentary with Jerry on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And listening to him rail against Jay Happ was really enlightening because he talked about how afraid of the zone he was. And you couldn't ignore it. He was afraid of the zone.
Jay Happ doesn't exactly pitch like Jack Morris.
No, he doesn't. Oh. Not a guy who pitched to the score.
I wonder, I really do wonder if Russ Martin will make a difference.
Maybe.
I don't think it's going to be a huge difference, but I think he'll make a difference. But look, again, fourth starter. There are people who suggest that, you know, this is the Blue Jays' answer to not bringing David Price back, Jay Happ, which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Happ is not here to replace David Price. He's here, hopefully, to replace Mark Burley and his production, though it's going to be tough to get Happ to throw 200 innings based on all those games where he's a five and dive. But, you know, if you bolster the bullpen a little bit, you know, five and dive might not be so bad, especially for the bottom of the rotation. And this is what really needs to be, this is a huge talking point. I can't say this enough. He is the fourth starter.
Yes.
He is a bottom of the rotation guy. This is what those guys cost in free agency. And he is very good for a fourth starter.
So what you said was interesting. Talking to Mike Wilner here. I'm Ben Ennis, Sportsnet Today. Sportsnet Radio Network, bolstering the bullpen because, as mentioned, there are times when Jay Happ throws many baseballs at the direction of home plate. And quite often they do not enter the strike zone. And as a result, the pitch count is quite high. So as much as I think, you know, your best three relievers are real good in Brett Cecil, Aaron Sanchez, and Roberto Osuna, that's more than enough in late game close scenarios. You probably do need to add a little bit of depth to your relief corps, do you not?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I think you're right. It's a very good start with Cecil, Sanchez, and Osuna. But you do need to add some more big arms down there. You're missing Mark Lowe and LaTroy Hawkins hurts this bullpen, even though Hawkins wasn't really good.
Yeah. He was good for a time.
Beyond, he was really, really good for them in July and August, or in August. And Lowe was solid.
Yeah.
But you've lost Hendricks, who was a solid long relief kind of guy. They do need a couple more relievers, and there are plenty of relievers out there, and there are lots of guys, you know, minor league free agent relievers, some of whom jump up and wind up having great years.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the bullpen definitely needs some adds because, look, what Kansas City has showed us, what the Blue Jays showed us with that August run where they had five phenomenal relievers, a great bullpen helps you win a whole big bunch of ball games, especially when your starters aren't terribly reliable. And so, yeah, I would expect that, you know, I don't say that this is what they have to do now and this has to happen next and then that. But at some point in this offseason, they're going to have to pick up another reliever or two.
But it's like what you said is, yeah, it's true in that everybody looks at what the Kansas City Royals did and there's a renewed importance on your relievers. Everybody knows that. Agents for relievers are aware of that. I can't believe the amount of hype around Darren O'Day this offseason. Like, he's like one of the hottest commodities out there on the free agent market, which means maybe you're looking at, if you're picking up a guy who is proven, you're going to look at paying a big price for a guy like a Mark Lowe if you want to try to bring him back. Not unlike what the Astros did a year ago. It worked out for them. Those guys kind of faltered a little bit down the stretch, But they spent big money in bringing up some, bringing in some relievers last offseason, and it wasn't the only reason things worked out for the Astros, but it helped.
No, but it helped. Well, Neshek didn't have a great year.
Yeah.
But yeah, they threw $6 million a season at Pat Neshek and Luke Gregerson, and that's what it might be, because those were non-closers making what up to that point had been closer money. But you can bring in two guys for the cost of one Jay Happ. And I don't know if the Blue Jays are going to do that. I mean, they're already up at around $130 million, so we don't know what the final payroll number is going to be.
Yeah.
But I think that they're definitely looking for relievers, maybe in trade. You know, a guy like a Drew Storen comes to mind.
Yeah.
Would you take on
Jonathan Papelbon if the Nationals ate some of that money? Would you take that personality in?
No. Why ruin what you've worked so hard to build? I mean, unless the first day when Jonathan Papelbon walks into the clubhouse, Josh Donaldson and Jose Bautista and Russ Martin just walk up to him and beat the crap out of him. You know, I don't think that's not a guy I want on my team.
I don't know. He's won World Series, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. One dude, really, you think it's a house of cards where one guy comes in there and he's pooping in people's shoes or something? Like, what's happening?
Well, but why would you want that?
Because he can get outs. Because he can get outs?
Yeah, but he's now, what is he, 35, 36? Who knows how much longer he's going to be able to operate. But, I mean, even for nothing.
Yeah.
I don't think I would want John.
Even for nothing?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, really?
Yeah.
For nothing. If the Nationals are just so intent on getting that guy out of that clubhouse so that he doesn't kill their MVP. Why
would you want him here killing your MVP?
Because, well, that's a good one. I feel like he's not as likely to try to kill this MVP. I mean, he's still, and I know the peripherals were not great, especially in Washington last year, but overall he was a good reliever. Had a whip just over one.
We've already wasted far too much time discussing this guy.
Well, I know that, at least I don't know, but were the Blue Jays not in discussions to acquire him last year?
Yeah, and then they decided not to for exactly the same reason.
Yeah.
Those reasons have not changed.
So Drew Storen would be the guy.
I like the idea of Drew Storen. I mean, just because he's really good and he might be available, but there are, you know, there are a lot of other relievers out there who you could probably pry away from some teams too. Storen is just the first guy who came to mind.
So this is, it actually is getting me thinking when you're talking about, yes, in the clubhouse chemistry, atmosphere, the personalities, they clicked last year. They were also real good, and they won a bunch of games.
They were real good.
Right. That you can't, like, what if Jonathan Papelbon was...
Why are we still talking about Jonathan
Papelbon?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I'm just talking about a theoretical human being who plays baseball at a real high level, but is a scumbag.
Right.
You can't afford to have, like, Barry Bonds on this team. If Barry Bonds was available for nothing...
I would
nothing,
take Barry Bonds on this team.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it?
I would absolutely... An everyday player who's going to have an MVP-caliber season... I would be, or even, you know,
Albert Bell. Would you take Albert Bell?
Yes, reluctantly. But
would you take Ty Cobb?
Probably. I mean, he just killed a guy. That's no big deal. Right?
That's all. Just killed a guy. And a virulent racist, but yes.
Yeah,
no. But he can play baseball real well. Although, I don't know if he could hit 95, 99. Who knows how hard guys were throwing back then?
That's true. But regardless, I think that when you're looking at an everyday player who is a major, major contributor, you might be able to swallow a little bit more jackassery, if you will.
Okay.
I got a name for you. All right.
John Lackey. Could you, because there are, you know, more than just reports that he's not the easiest guy to handle. He was not qualified, was he not?
I don't believe he will. I've heard conflicting things about John Lackey. When in his Angels and Red Sox days, there were some terrible human being stories about him.
Well, and you see him, he throws his fielders under the bus all the time.
Yeah, it's possible that he's grown up. But regardless, again, you know, I don't know that you want to bring that into the mix.
But look how good he was. Outstanding last year, Mike.
Yeah, again, in the National League.
Right.
Right. He was okay in the American League the year before, if I remember correctly, or good, actually.
No, he was
better than okay.
Yeah, in 21 starts in 2014 for the Red Sox, ERA of 3.6, and what, a whip of 1.23. So he's good.
I have a feeling he's going to really look to cash in after taking it on the chin last year and only making the minimum. So, no, I'm not. Hey, I don't think he belongs in the Albert Bell, Jonathan Papelbon category, but he might be close.
Yeah, I think he would love to stick it to the Red Sox, though. Can't you imagine him pitching, you know, four times against the Red Sox and just getting super amped up to face that team every time he faced them?
Because they traded him?
Yeah.
To a team that gave him a chance to pitch in the playoffs?
You think there's no ill will towards the Boston Red Sox from John Lackey? The way, and maybe it's not the players, maybe it's not the management, although it's probably the management, but the way, you know, the chicken and beer thing, like all that?
Yeah, maybe.
I think so. That's an interesting guy who I hadn't thought about really all off season, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. So we just kind of cursorily, is that a word? Talked about David Price here, how he's, I mean, I guess I have to say likely not an option
anymore.
Never
coming back.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Never coming back to the Blue Jays. As much as people wanted to believe it, as much as people really want to have him back, and the Blue Jays want to have him back, and he may well want to be back. For 7 years and $200+ million, he was never coming back to the Blue Jays. And that's probably the right move. Those contracts tend not to work out.
Right. And it's something that you can eat. First of all, flags fly forever. So if you win a World Series, you eat it. Who cares? And I'm sure that the Blue Jays would say the same thing. Hey, if we were guaranteed a World Series, sure, give them $50 million this year.
Yep.
But there's no guarantees. Plus, it's easier to eat it if your payroll is $180, $200 million, which we assume this team's isn't going to be. We don't know. Like, do we have a number? Like, $140 million is what we assume?
We expect that it's not going to go down from last year. We don't know if it's going to go up from last year. So they keep saying they have all the resources they need to build a championship team. So whatever that means.
What do you think the reason is that there's no David Price? Because, we've talked about it ad nauseum in this time slot. Is it that Blue Jays brain trust doesn't believe it's prudent to give a guy that kind of contract, or that they were told that they couldn't from ownership?
I don't think ownership said you can't. I think if it fits within the budget, it's something that they can do, and that's the way it's always worked. Again, I don't know the specifics under Mark Shapiro. I don't know if anything has changed, if the relationship with Rogers has changed, if the way they do payroll, the way they account has changed. I don't know any of that stuff. But in the past, it's always been, if you can fit this in the budget, you can do it. So I don't think there's would ever be a directive from ownership that says, no, you can't sign this guy if he fits. I think that, you know, you have to balance getting all the things you want with being smart.
Yeah.
And it's not smart to give a pitcher a 7-year contract, especially at $30 million or so per year. It's just not. I mean, you look at the history of all these contracts, with the exception of the one signed last year, right? We don't know when Max Scherzer is going to blow up, if Max Scherzer
and Clayton Kershaw hasn't yet.
Those sorts of things too, right? But at least Clayton Kershaw, you're not buying him into his late 30s.
Yeah.
But
and maybe Justin Verlander's bouncing back.
Maybe, but maybe not. He's had half of one good season since he signed that huge contract.
Yeah.
So it's just never been a good idea. And when you look back at the history of these contracts, generally it's no later than year 3 that teams are saying, why the hell did we do this and how the hell can we get out of it? So it really, you know, flags do fly forever.
Yes.
But if you're paying $200 million for, say, 3 good years of David Price, or 3 great years of David Price, 2 solid years and 2 awful years, that's not really a good one.
How do you think the San Francisco Giants feel, though, about the Barry Zito signing and the Tim Lincecum signing at the moment with their three World Series flags?
Three World Series.
Flying right? forever. Yeah.
Yeah, but Barry Zito wasn't even on the roster for two of them.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, it's hard to balance the two because and I don't know if it does or should play into it, but you sure would have sent the same message that you sent at the non-waiver trade deadline with the acquiring of David Price if they go out and do blow their brains out if they hamstrung themselves a little bit this year with the signing of a David Price. Or if
why don't you go play the season with what you've got and trade for Steven Strasburg at the deadline.
Maybe. Well, maybe that's dude.
Right? There's nothing to say that can't happen again.
Yeah. That would be interesting because and I guess we don't know a number, but how close to the number were the Blue Jays in the acquisitions they made at the deadline? Were they like dollar to dollar and they were right under a number that they had to remain at and everything they did was still under the constraints of the budget? That Alex Anthopoulos made every move at the non-waiver trade deadline with a number in mind that he couldn't go over.
Yeah, I believe that to be true. The Reyes deal was revenue neutral. The Revere deal was revenue neutral. The Lowe deal was revenue neutral. The only trade where the Blue Jays picked up salary was on David Price.
Yeah.
They had that room left in their budget. They left that room.
So
it's the reason that they had to give up better quality to get Lowe and Revere in order to get Seattle and Philly to pick up the dough.
Yeah. Do you think that Tony LaCava will have, leaving some wiggle room in mind when he goes into day one of the regular season with the payroll that they take on going into this regular season?
I hope so.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just hard to know where that number is.
Rule. Right. It's impossible. We can't know what that number is if there is a number, if there's a hard and fast number. We just don't know. They won't tell us, and they're within their rights to do so.
It's interesting that they've done so much, and we haven't even reached the winter meetings, which you will be at. And maybe not that much work that needs to be done. Blue Jays related. Maybe you can like enjoy the sunshine in Nashville.
In Nashville?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be very sunshiny in Nashville.
Okay.
The last time we went to Nashville for the winter meetings, we left and it was snowing.
Oh.
It's not hardly balmy down there. But, you know, last year the Blue Jays did a lot of their heavy lifting before the winter meetings too. And all they did down there was pick up Chris Colabello on waivers, which turned out to be a hugely significant move. So
yeah.
Who knows what will happen.
And maybe there's a Rule 5 draft guy that they can get.
Could be. That's where you look to the bullpen for Rule 5 guys. You just pick somebody who throws awful hard and who you like and might turn into something.
Yeah. Jay Happ is a Blue Jay once again, and that means longer game time. So sorry about that, Michael. That's a shame.
Shorter Blue Jays talk to me. So
well, yeah, which is a shame, too. Which is also a double shame. Well, oh well. Hopefully
only once every 5 days.
Yeah, hopefully he's figured things out. Maybe he's the Pittsburgh Pirate, Jay Happ.
That's the biggest thing, though. I mean, Jay Happ takes Mark Burley's place in the rotation, and game time's a double.
It's you know what's interesting? We haven't heard any official word on Mark Burley. Why is that?
Because he's Mark Burley.
Come on, say something, Mark Burley. I don't know. Do you think he is? I was left thinking maybe he's not going to retire.
I think he might not retire. The word from him in the playoffs, and the Blue Jays had told him during the ALCS, they said, hey, if we win this series, you're probably going to be on the roster for the World Series.
Yeah.
So he started to try to get in shape and get that arm going. And he said he felt great, way better than he did in August and September. So for me, that's a big hint that he may come back for a year, and if St. Louis wants him, it would not surprise me at all if Mark Burley was a Cardinal next season.
Well, and they need starters, and apparently they're going to be in on the big names as well. So, yeah, that's a scenario you could easily see happening. I was going to say at least the Blue Jays wouldn't have to face him, but they might like facing him with all those righty bats.
So well, they wouldn't have to face him until the World Series anyway.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. If he goes to the St. Louis Cardinals, gets out of the American League. But I'll,
that'd be fine. I think they would take facing him in the World Series.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, thank you, Michael. Enjoy Nashville. Bring me back a hat.
What kind of hat?
What kind of hat do you think?
A
cowboy
hat? A
winter
meetings hat? A Nashville Sounds hat?
No.
Cowboy hat?
Yeah, cowboy hat. Winter meetings hat. Do they have winter meetings hats?
They do have winter meetings hats.
Don't bring me back a winter meetings hat. That's lame. Bring me back a cowboy hat.
All righty.
I'll get you back. Thank you, Michael.